Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Then Lord Brahma saw that Kala, the time factor, Swabhava, one's own nature by association, Sanskara, reformation, Kama, desire, Karma, fruit of activity, and the Gunas, the three modes of material nature, their own independence being completely subordinate to the potency of the Lord, had all taken forms and were also worshipping those Vishnu Murtis. Purport. No one but Vishnu has any independence. If we develop consciousness of this fact, then we are in actual Krishna consciousness. We should always remember that Krishna is the only Supreme Master and that everyone else is his servant. Ekale Ishvara Krishna ar sababritya. Be one even Narayan or Lord Shiva, everyone is subordinate to Krishna. Shiva Virinchi Nutam. Even Baladev is subordinate to Krishna. This is a fact. Ekale Ishvara Krishna ar sababritya. Jari Jaichi Natchaya Sitaichi Kori Nritcha. Adilila 5.142. One should understand that no one is independent, for everything is part and parcel of Krishna, and is acting and moving by the supreme desire of Krishna. This understanding, this consciousness, is Krishna consciousness. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Ruda Didaivatai Samatvenai Vaviksheta Sapashandi Bhaved Dhruvam. A person who considers demigods like Brahma and Shiva to be on an equal level with Narayan must certainly be considered an offender. No one can compare to Narayan or Krishna. Krishna is Narayan, and Narayan is also Krishna, for Krishna is the original Narayan. Brahma himself addresses Krishna, Narayanas tvam nahi sarvadehinam. You are also Narayan. Indeed, you are the original Narayan. Bhagavatam 10.14.14. Kala, or the time factor, has many assistants, such as Swabhav, Sanskara, Kama, Karma, and Guna. Swabhav is one's own nature. Swabhav, or one's own nature, is formed according to the association of the material qualities. Karanam Gunasangosya Sadasad Yoni Janmasu. Bhagavatam 13.22. Sat and Asat Svabhav, one's higher or lower nature, is formed by association with different qualities, namely Sattvagun, Rajogun, and Tamogun. We should gradually come to the Sattvagun, so that we may avoid the two lower gunas. This can be done if we regularly discuss Srimad Bhagavatam and hear about Krishna's activities. Nasta prayesh vabhadreshu nityang bhagavadasevaya, Bhagavatam 1.2.18. All the activities of Krishna described in Srimad Bhagavatam, beginning even with the pastimes concerning Putana, are transcendental. Therefore, by hearing and discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, the Rajogun and the Tamogun are subdued, so that only Sattva Gun remains. Then Rajogun and Tamogun cannot do us any harm. Varnashram Dharma, therefore, is essential, for it can bring people to Sattvagun. Tada Rajas Tamo Bhava Kamaloba Deyas Chaye, Bhagavatam 1.2.19. Tamogun and Rajogun increase lust and greed, which implicate a living entity in such a way that he must exist in this material world in many, many forms. This is very dangerous. One should therefore be brought to Sattvagun by the establishment of Varnashram Dharma, and should develop the brahminical qualifications of being very neat and clean, rising early in the morning and seeing Mangalarti and so on. In this way, one should stay in Sattvagun, and then one cannot be influenced by Tamogun and Rajogun. Tada Rajas Tamo Bhava Kamaloba Dayas Chaye Cheta Aitair Na Vidhang Stitam Sattve Prasidate, Bhagavatam 1.2.19. The opportunity for this purification is the special feature of human life. In other lives, this is not possible. Such purification can be achieved very easily by Radha Krishna Bhajan, devotional service rendered to Radha and Krishna. And therefore Narottam Das Thakur sings Hari Hari Bifale Janama Gonainu, indicating that unless one worships Radha Krishna, one's human form of life is wasted. Vasudevi Bhagavate Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayatya Shivai Ragyam Bhagavatam 127. By engagement in the service of Vasudev, one very quickly renounces material life. The members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement, for example, being engaged in Vasudev Bhakti, very quickly come to the stage of being nice Vaishnavas, so much so that people are surprised that Mlechas and Yavanas are able to come to this stage. This is possible by Vasudev Bhakti. But if we do not come to the stage of Sattva Gun in this human life, then as Narottam Das Thakur sings, Hari Hari Bifale Janama Gonainu, there is no profit in gaining this human form of life. It's three more paragraphs, long purport. Sri Viraragava Acharya comments that each of the items mentioned in the first half of this verse is a cause of material entanglement. Kala, or the time factor, agitates the modes of material nature, and Svabhav is the result of association with these modes. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says, Bhakti Sannivas, if one associates with Bhaktas, then one's Svabhav, or nature, will change. Our Krishna consciousness movement is meant to give people good association, so that this change may take place. And we actually see that by this method, people all over the world are gradually becoming devotees. As for sangskara or reformation, this is possible by good association, for by good association one develops good habits, and habits become second nature. Therefore, bhakti sannivas, let people have the chance to live with bhaktas. Then their habits will change. In the human form of life, one has this chance. But as Narottam Das Thakur sings, Hari Hari Bifale Janama Gonainu, if one fails to take advantage of this opportunity, one's human life is wasted. We are therefore trying to save human society from degradation and actually elevate people to the higher nature. As for kama and karma, desires and activities, if one engages in devotional service, one develops a different nature than if one engages in activities of sense gratification. And of course, the result is also different. According to the association of different natures, one receives a particular body. Karanam gunasangosya sarasad yoni janmasu. Bhagavad Gita 13:22. Therefore, we should always seek good association, the association of devotees. Then our life will be successful. A man is known by his company. If one has the chance to live in the good association of devotees, one is able to cultivate knowledge, and naturally one's character or nature will change for one's eternal benefit. Kala svabhava sangskara kama karma guna dibihi svamahit vastamahibhir murtimadbhir upasitaha. Then Lord Brahma saw that kala, the time factor, svabhav, one's own nature by association, sangskara, reformation, kama, desire, karma, fruit of activity, and the gunas, the three modes of material nature, their own independence being completely subordinate to the potency of the Lord, had all taken forms and were also worshipping those Vishnumurtis. Om Jnana Timarandasya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Thank you all for coming to the class. It's a privilege to give a class in front of so many devotees, especially so many senior devotees. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada is discussing a number of topics here. It's quite difficult to decide which ones to talk about. I thought I'd talk a little bit about polytheism, as it's refuted in this purport. Also, there's a lot of discussion about association with devotees. I might say something about that, just to please back to Ruben, who likes to glorify the potency of association with senior devotees, especially those who have developed Krishna Prema. So Prabhupada quotes a verse from the Padma Purana. Yastu narayanam devam brahma rudadi daivatai samatvenai vaviksheta sapashandi bhaved dhruvam. A person who considers demigods like Brahma and Shiva to be on an equal level with Narayan must certainly be considered an offender. I find this verse very interesting for the following reason. It's very similar to the second offense to the holy name. We recite it every morning. To consider the names of demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma to be equal to or independent of the names of Lord Vishnu. Now I have a theory. You're allowed to philosophically speculate. So here's what it is. I think that translation has been influenced by this particular verse from the Padma Purana. Because actually, if you look at the verses, which are also from the Padma Purana, the 10 aparads to the holy name, this isn't one of them. But I'll read you what is one of them, the second one. Listen to the Sanskrit, so I'm going to do something technical with the Sanskrit. So I want you to pay attention, please. Shivasya Shri Vishnor Yahi Guna Namadi Sakalam Diya Pina Pasyet Sakalu Harina Mahitakara. That is actually the Sanskrit for the second offense to the holy name. Now, there are a number of translations. I've already given one of them. Does anyone know any other translations? Okay, in Adi Lila 8.24, Prabhupada gives the following translation, which is the amalgamation of two translations. In this material world, the holy name of Vishnu is all auspicious. Vishnu's name, form, qualities, and pastimes are all transcendental, absolute knowledge. Therefore, if one tries to separate the absolute personality of Godhead from his holy name or his transcendental form, qualities, and pastimes, thinking them to be material, that is offensive. So that's the second translation. Prabhupada continues with the one that we're familiar with. Similarly, to think that the names of demigods such as Lord Shiva are as good as the name of Lord Vishnu, or in other words, to think that Lord Shiva and the other demigods are other forms of God and therefore equal to Vishnu, is also blasphemous. So this is polytheism. If you think that there are equal controllers, then that is a blasphemy. And actually in Jiva Dharma, both these same two translations are given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So we know that Srila Prabhupada was in line with Bhaktivinoda Thakur to give two separate translations to the one Sanskrit verse. Now there's a, interesting enough, there's a third translation given by Sanatana Goswami. And actually I'll dig it up for you. It's from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And actually it's the opposite to one of them. One who sees differences between any of Lord Shiva's qualities and names and those of Sri Vishnu is an antagonist to Harinam. So the question may arise, how can one verse have three translations? And especially different ones. Some are talking about Lord Shiva, and some are talking about a comparison between Vishnu and his paraphernalia. So I'll give you some reasons why. The word Shiva doesn't just mean Lord Shiva. It's also a name of Lord Vishnu. In fact, if you check the Vishnu Sahasranam, the thousand names of Vishnu, you'll find Shiva is one of them. What does Shiva mean? Auspicious. That's generally how we translate it. If you look at a dictionary, that's what it means. When I checked the Vishnu Sahasranam, it was translated as the pure one. So it means Lord Vishnu is auspicious and pure. So if we take that translation, then this verse is not about Lord Shiva, it's simply about Lord Vishnu and a comparison between Lord Vishnu's name, quality, forms, and Lord Vishnu himself. And if you consider the name of Lord Vishnu to be not the same as Vishnu, then that is an offense to the holy name. Same with Lord Vishnu's paraphernalia, his quality, and his pastimes. They are all absolute. So we can't say Vishnu is pure, absolute, but his pastimes are something else. That's an offense to the holy name. Now, that explains part of the translation. But there's more to it than that. There's the phrase in the verse, Dhiya Bina. Now, when you have Devanagari, there's no spaces, right? If you read Devanagari, all words are joined together. But of course, when we do Roman transliteration, we put spaces. Now, the way this is spaced in the translation, it's two words, Dhiya and Bina. If you do it that way, Bina means difference, and Dhiya means to, with the intelligence, or to see a difference. So that means the verse is saying it is an offense to see a difference. So according to that way of breaking things down, that's similar to what Sanatana Goswami says. It's an offense to see a difference between Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu. Because actually, achincha beta beta tattva, they are one and different. But it's also offensive from the point of view that the Vaishnav is so intimately connected to Vishnu that if you in any way consider the Vaishnav to be less than Vishnu, you're an offender to the holy name. So we have to respect the Vaishnav. Also in the Padma Purana it says, Aradhananam Sarveshnam Vishnu Aradhanam Param Tasmad Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. The highest form of worship is worship of Lord Vishnu, and higher even than that is worship of his devotee. So Vaishnavanam Yata Shambhu. Lord Shiva is the greatest Vaishnav. So we should be very careful that we don't in any way see Lord Shiva as less than Lord Vishnu. But then there's a competing philosophy. Krishna's too Bhagavan Swayam. We should see only Lord Krishna as the Supreme. So we have to be very careful. What is Nama Parad? It's a razor's edge. If you see a difference between Shiva and Vishnu, you might be an Aparadi. And if you see them as the same, you might be an Aparadi. So we have very little room to play with. But this is a Chincha Beda Beda Tattva, one and different. In fact, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Krishna Rasa Mata Hoiti Bada Bhaktapad. The position of devotee is higher even than the position of Krishna. So Krishna's devotees are higher even than Krishna. Prabhupada says, Shrimati Radharani is greater even than Krishna. Yesterday was Radhastami. Kripa Maipuru was talking about polytheism. Do you remember? He said, we only believe in one God, then the curtain's open. Here is our one God, and there's many deities. Very difficult to understand. One of our ISKCON pundits, Garuda Prabhu, he describes Gaudiya Vaishnavism as polymorphic by monotheism. I laughed when I read it too, thank you. So why is it by monotheism? Well, we don't just worship Krishna, it's Krishna with Radha. So there's two, there's always two. There's Shakti and Shaktiman. And why is it polymorphic? Because those two manifest in so many ways, as Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayan, Lakshmi Narasingha, and so forth. So it's polymorphic by monotheism. Returning to the second aparad. So I mentioned this term, Dhiya Bina. So it can be broken down in two ways. Dhiya plus Bina means to see a difference. So if you see a difference between Shiva and Vishnu, it's an offense. Or if you see a difference between Vishnu and his paraphernalia, it's an offense. But it can also be broken down as Dhiya plus Abhina, to see them as the same. And that's what relates to this purport. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudari Daivatai. To see Brahma and Shiva to be the same, that is also the offense. So, does everyone get it? Because of these two there's room for maneuver in this shloka, so we can have many different meanings. So that's the technical bit over, you'll be glad to know, unless you like technical things. We can't please all the people all the time, unless we channel what Krishna wants us to speak, in which case you can please everyone, but I can't do that. So sometimes I say technical things and sometimes I don't. And those that don't like technical things, well, my apologies. Anyway, let's bring it down to a practical level. First of all, The background to this is Lord Brahma has been bewildered by Krishna, and now Krishna is revealing the truth. It's interesting that Prabhupada quotes a verse from the 14th chapter of this canto. Narayana stvam nahi sarvadehinam. This verse also contains the statement, Narayanangam narabhujalayanat tachchapi satyam natavaiva maya. Because you're known as Narayan because you're lying in the ocean, the Nara ocean. And he then says to, Brahma then says to Krishna, this is the truth. Tachchapi satyam natavaiva maya. It is not your maya. So Lord Brahma, it's dawned on him that he's been tricked by Krishna, and it was all a big maya. It's Krishna's maya bewildered Lord Brahma. But when he sees the Narayan forms, he has a different understanding. He goes, this is not maya, this is reality. So there's a self-evident aspect to reality. Some people ask, what is the proof of the Vedas? The answer is, svata pramana veda, pramana shiromani. The Vedas are self-evident. When you know a Vedic truth, it is more true than anything you've ever experienced before. Like I see you in front of me, you see me in front of you, you know that's true. But imagine a Vedic truth that you realize is even more true than that, because you can argue maybe it's an illusion, maybe Govinda's not sitting there or something. It's my imperfect senses. Vedic truth is svata pramana. It carries its own truth with it. In other words, you can't hold a candle to the sun. The sun is self-evident. Actually, let's talk about the Dashamula Tattva. The first tattva is the Vedas are evidence. Amnaya is the word used. The second truth, tattvam harim iha paramam, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is what Prabhupada is talking about in this purport. Ekale ishvara Krishna ar sabhabritcha, jari jaitshinachaya sitaitshi korin richa. That Krishna makes everyone dance to his tune because he is the Eka Ishvara. He's the only Ishvara. So that's the second Dashamula. The third one, Sarva Shaktiman. Krishna's the possessor of all potencies, which is also very relevant to today's verse because those potencies are now manifesting before Lord Krishna and they are submissive to him. And the phrase used is Svamahi Dvasta Mahibi, which means by Krishna's mahi, by Krishna's glory, their glory is dvasta, it's destroyed. They have no greatness before Krishna, because before Krishna they're insignificant. So Krishna has multifarious energies. What is the phrase from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad that says Krishna has multifarious energies? Parashya Shaktir Vividhai Vashruyate. It's a very important verse because it defeats the Mayavad philosophy. The reason being that because if you believe in Mayavad philosophy, you have to accept that everything is one. If you accept everything is one, then there can't be variety within Brahman. But this verse says, Parashya Shaktir Vividaiva Shruyate. There are many varieties of energies within Brahman. So how do the Mayavadis get around it? They say it's an illusion. They're not actually real. They don't really exist, these energies. It's just a figment of the imagination. Jagan Mitcha. The universe is false. But here, clearly the Shvetashvatara Upanishad is saying Parashya Shaktir Vividaiva Shruyate. Those inner energies. To even use the term Shakti means it must have some ontological foundation. So this, if you see the Acharyas fighting the Mayavadis, this verse sometimes comes up. The same verse also contains the line Natat Samaschabyadikas Tradishyate, which means there is no one equal to or greater than the Lord. So what's the phrase for, what is the name of the Lord? That means no one is equal to or greater than him. Anyone know, apart from Sutapa? You know? Asamavardva. It's an interesting word. For many years in the folio it was misspelt. Now there's a little explanation at the front. The last couple of years they decided to change it. So the misspelling was Asamavardva, A-U, is wrong because according to the laws of Sandhi, when Sama and Urdva join together, it becomes O, not Au. So it's now been changed to Asamordva. It's a difficult one to notice. I mean, I was reading this for many years, and I never really cottoned on. But those who study Sanskrit, they can recognize these little discrepancies. So the folio has always been updated, little by little. They've almost got every single thing. I found one little, the word Shiva's got no diacritic in the Nectar of Devotion. I found that, but I've not told them yet. I'm not going to bother. I've sent a few to Dravida, and he agrees with them. There's one, born from plants is what it's supposed to be, and it says born from planets. But you know that there's four types of living entities, Svedaja, Andaja, etc. One of them is born from plants, but it's kind of come out as born from planets. Understandable mistake to make. Anyway, let us continue. It's quite interesting that Veera Raghavacharya, he has said from the purport that these various shaktis that have been discussed, time, swabhav, etc., they are cause of material entanglement. So now let's get really down to something practical. It seems to me that what Srila Prabhupada is doing in this purport is he's given a solution how to overcome those various energies. Svabhav, kala, sangskara, kama, karma, etc. And the way, Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. The way that Srila Prabhupada advises us to overcome is twofold. He talks quite extensively about the process of devotional service, and he also talks about the value of association with devotees. And actually, there are five verses from the second chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam, which are called the process of devotional service. We all know these verses are very famous. Maybe we can chant them all together at the same time. Shrinvatam svakata Krishna punya shravana kirtana rijanta stohya badrani vidunoti suritsatam nashta prayashva badreshu itcham bhagavata sevaya Bhagavat Yutama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki Tada Rajastamo Bhava Kamalo Badayaschaye Cheta Etairina Vidham Stitam Sadve Prasidati Evam Prasana Manaso Bhakti Yoga Priyodataha Bhagavat Tadva Vigyanam Mukta Sangasya Jayati Vidyate ridaya grantis chidyante sarva sangshaya shiyante chascha karmani eva manishvari. Do you ever know the meaning? I'll give you a very rough meaning. It begins, the heart becomes purified by hearing Krishna Katha. Then one becomes fixed up in one's devotional service, regular attendance of Srimad Bhagavatam class and service to the devotees make one fixed up. One transcends the modes of passion and ignorance and comes to the mode of goodness. Then from goodness, one comes to pure goodness, one realizes the tattva, and then the chain of fruit of activities, the knot that binds us to this material world, the false ego, is completely destroyed, roughly speaking. So it's wonderful. It's wonderfully simple, just five verses, but very difficult to put into practice. Actually, there's another verse that's very much connected, the verse that before the first one, which is very relevant, because when we ask the question, well, one becomes pure by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, but what if one has no taste? Then what? Sushushro Shradhanasya Vasudeva Kataruchi Shan Mahat Sevayavitpra Punya Tirta Nashevanat. One should serve the Vaishnavas, and by serving the Vaishnavas, one develops this affinity for hearing Krishna Katha. So actually, our devotional service begins with serving the Vaishnavas, and it's done unknowingly because we have no faith. We don't faithfully serve the Vaishnava because we have none. Shraddha comes after service to the Vaishnavas. Therefore, we must arrange for people to serve the Vaishnavas, for by doing so, the Shraddha will develop. Then when the Shraddha develops, they will read Srila Prabhupada's books. So here's an interesting observation I made. Recently, I was traveling up to the north of England and Scotland on the, well, I think someone named it the Krishna North Tour, which I thought was a very nice name. The Northern Tour, if you want to call it that, which was very ecstatic, very disorganized and very ecstatic. As I was going through the tour, I was thinking of this statement from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Niya Yoga Kshema Atmavan. Krishna tells Arjuna, do not care for gain and safety and be established in the self. We were forced to practice this because we didn't know where we were going to sleep from one night to another. We didn't know what transport we had to get from one place to another, and somehow or other we survived. But it's good to not know where you're going to sleep at night, because it makes you depend on Krishna. It's like the six Goswamis, they weren't considering where am I going to sleep tonight. They weren't worried about their sleeping arrangements. They were simply engaged in preaching and enjoying discussing Krishna Katha. Now, on the topic of the Goswamis, it says, Tandara Charana Sevi Bhakta Sanivas Janame Janami Hoy E Abhilash. Narottam Das Thakur says, my desire is that life after life, I want to have the association with those who are dedicated to serving the lotus feet of the six Goswamis. So this Bhakta Sanivas, did you hear this statement when you were listening to the purport? Prabhupada mentioned it several times. Bhakta Sanivas, the importance of association with devotees. So it comes from Narottam Das Thakur, who is forever glorifying the devotees. And if we can imbibe this mood, then we too can become very advanced in devotional service. Because having dedication and the desire to associate with the devotees who have taken shelter of the Goswamis, this is a very, very good desire, and therefore we should follow in the footsteps of Narottam Das Thakur. There are many wonderful scholars in the world, many scholars of the Vedas, but there are very few people who are truly dedicated to surrendering to the lotus feet of the Goswamis. And if we get their association, then we can make very rapid spiritual advancement. Narottam Das Thakur says, Chadiya Vaishnava Seva Nishtara Payetshi Keba. No one can attain liberation without serving the Vaishnavas. And in the first canto, and also in the fourth canto, the same verse is found, Tula Yama Lavena Pi Nasvargam Napunarbhavam Bhagavat Sangi Sangasya Marchanam Kimuta Shishaha. That is, just a moment's association with a devotee is worth even more than liberation or residence in the heavenly planets. What to speak of earthly benedictions? Now, Narottam Das Thakur also says that Jahara Nikati Jahara Nikati Geli Papaduri Jai. That if one even has association with devotee, then all one's sins can be vanquished. Now that's wonderful in itself, but even more than that is one gains bhakti. And bhakti is worth more than having all one's sins destroyed. So the very powerful effect of devotee association should always be kept in mind, and we should give our association. Prabhupada says this, we should give our association. And as Kripa Mahaprabhu pointed out, you don't have to wait to become pure before you give your association. Prabhupada laughed at this idea. He said, how will you ever become pure? So we should give our association, and whatever association we have, that's of some value. But if we give our association, then we'll become empowered and our association will be worth more. Take the example of Narad Muni. He gave his association to Mrigari the hunter, and see the transformation. He went from the most sinful of sinful to the most elevated Vaishnav. Now we can't imitate that, but that shows you what is the association of a powerful Vaishnav. And according to one's Shakti, one can influence to varying degrees. Narada Muni is a wonderful example of the power of devotee association. And he himself, he became a pure devotee through association with the Paramahansas. He heard their katha and he took their remnants. So he went from being the son of a Shudrani to being, in his next life, he was born directly from Lord Brahma as a pure devotee. See the transformation, power of association. So here's an observation I made. When I was up in Scotland, I went to the morning program, and there were some woofers there, and they would sit. One sat doing silent meditation during japa, and the other sat chanting Hare Krishna. So those woofers, they didn't come to the Hare Krishnas to be Hare Krishnas. They came to do some organic farming. It's interesting that this purport describes how from, by practicing devotional service, passion and ignorance are destroyed and one gets situated in the mode of goodness. That is stage one. It's very explicitly mentioned in the 11th canto as well, that one should defeat Rajas and Tamas by Sattvagun, and then one should defeat Sattvagun by Shuddha Sattva. So it's a gradual process. So woofers, they have a bit of Sattvagun about them, isn't it? Why does someone want to leave the city, go to some farm, and be at one with nature? It's Sattvagun. It's a bit like pantheism, considering the universe to be my God. So people who are into, you know, environmentalism, they are similar to what's referred to as the pantheists. Earth is my God. They used to have this theory called Gaia. I don't know if it's still around. It was very half-baked. I couldn't believe it. It's like saying Earth is a living being. It's like, well, actually from the Vedic perspective, Mother Earth is true. But there was no philosophy behind it. But the idea was we should treat Earth as a living entity. Therefore, if we pollute the Earth, we spoil the Earth, this is a bad thing. We should treat Earth as a living entity. So it's a nice theory, but it's kind of pantheistic. Now, woofers, they have this kind of pantheistic nature. Their mode of goodness, they like to do some organic farming, etc. But it's amazing how just by association with devotees, they become devotees. We see so many examples. They end up doing the Bhakti Shastri. They end up getting initiated. There's one woofer up there. He's married to Bhaktivinod Das, who was kind of organizing the woofers. I was speaking to him, and he said it's a real austerity because these people aren't Krishna conscious. So you don't want to give them much association, but you need to like talk to them. Someone needs to give them some association. But we see it's worth doing. The 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, Tapyanti loka tapena sadava prayasho janaha paramaradhanam tadhi purushasya kilatmanaha. The highest form of worship is to voluntarily take on austerity for the sake of suffering humanity. And this is what the topmost devotees generally do. So there's always an austerity in preaching. Now, we tend to focus on book distribution, which is very good. Living in Hemel Hempstead at the moment is Terkadamba Prabhu. So I bump into him sometimes on the street. So he's very controversial. He gave a class here and he said, you know, so many thousands of books have been distributed, but no one's joining, right? He said the same at Soho Street, and then the management had to have a little meeting to decide what to do with him. He was telling me this himself. Anyway, we don't want to... The purpose of this statement was not to minimize book distribution. It's to point out that the book distribution without association is not the complete package. So if you distribute the book and then you leave the person to get on with it and expect the book to make the devotee, you might be waiting a long time. Now, you might be lucky. The person might come through the purification of the book. The person may take the initiative. But most people don't take the initiative when it comes to book distribution. Therefore, there must be follow-up. There must be the backup. Now, the woofer system is proof of how good association is. Because these people, they're not interested in Krishna consciousness, but because they're living on the property, they're taking prasad, they're associating with devotees, they become devotees. And Prabhupada says we should give them our association. I'll give you some examples here. From Prabhupada memories, there's Gopal Brindapal, famous book distributor. He once went to Prabhupada and he said, the public are complaining. They're saying that all they want, all we want is their money. They say, whenever time we see devotees, they're always asking for our money. I sometimes cringe. I mean, it's a good thing to do, but I sometimes cringe. You see a nice little dialogue between a devotee and a member of the public. It's going nicely. And then suddenly the devotee goes, can you give me some money? You know, and then the person's like, oh, I've been hit by the devotee. It's a good thing to do, but at the same time, it's nice to sometimes just go along with the we don't want anything from you kind of mood as well. But anyway, that was the complaint that the public were making to the devotees. Prabhupada's answer was very interesting. He said, tell them, you can be with us always. You know, it's not just you just only see us on the street. And if you live with us for 3 days, you'll become like us. That's what he said. This is the power of association. Just live with someone, you become like them. Now, it doesn't always take 3 days. Sometimes it can take 3 years. We don't know. Sometimes, you know, as we know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had, I think it was six sons. No, he had more than six sons. He had many sons, but some of them weren't devotees and some were. Advaitacharya, another example, he had six sons and three were devotees and three weren't. So it doesn't always follow that a devotee association makes you a devotee. But the point we want to make is it's very, very important. So we should always bear in mind that our ashram should always be open. We should always be welcoming. We should be finding ways to bring people into our association, and we should be prepared to associate with people 24 hours a day. We should sleep next to them, we should rise with them, we should do morning program with them, etc., etc. And that will produce good results. And we've reached half past, so I'm going to stop here, and any time for comments or questions. Anyone like to make any comments or any questions? You're all completely satisfied? Hare Krishna.